Well, we are in full-blown election season, and even here in California, our airwaves are full of ads. In the swing states, I'm told it's much worse with the political ads. I think there's people in Ohio who are longing for a Cialis commercial just because there's so many other political commercials on the air all the time. And another debate coming up this week, and with the debates that have happened and the debates that are ahead, it's kind of something that so much of it focuses on the horse race and who's ahead and who's behind and who's gaining and who's losing and what it all means. Disturbingly little talk about policy and what policy is there often doesn't talk about policy about some things that are pretty important, like the poor or the mentally ill or the environment. But it's all there, and so much of it, the political rhetoric and the political coverage seems to be focused on who will rise to power. And the gospel reminds us in the midst of all that, that the question that Jesus asked wasn't who will rise to power, but the question that Jesus asks is who will rise to service? Who will rise to care for God and care for God's people? The rise to power is a powerful impulse. It's a powerful draw on the human psyche. James and John got caught in it. They're on their way to Jerusalem. They've been with Jesus for quite some time. And they go up to Jesus and kind of boldly say, "We want you to do a favor for us. We've done stuff for you. Now it's time for you to do a favor for us." Jesus, I can't imagine he said it with a straight face, but he said, "Oh, really? What do you want me to do?" He said, "We want to sit at your right, and at your when you come into your kingdom, we want you to sit at your. We want to sit one at the right and one at the left." And surely now we know the kingdom of God is the kingdom that's with us always and the kingdom that's in our hearts. But they were on their way to Jerusalem. They were on the way to the capital. And the kingdom, I'm sure they were thinking, was kingdoms with kings and courts and long tables where people make important decisions wearing fancy robes. And they said to Jesus, "We want to be at the table. We want to be at the table right on either side of you. We want to be your closest advisors." And Jesus must have shook his head and says, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I am to drink? In other words, can you commit? Can you share with me in what I'm going to share in? Are you baptized into the baptism that I'm baptized into? In other words, are you committed to the path that I'm committed to?" And they say, "Yes, we are." And there probably was some part of them that really was. Jesus says, "Well, it's not mine to give." The other disciples were furious. They were offended. Probably because they hadn't thought to ask first. And so Jesus can see that it's causing division among them, and so he calls them all together, and that's when he says, "You know how it is normally with the Gentiles, how their authorities make themselves known. They lord it over each other. It shouldn't be that way with you. The greatest among you is the one who serves, and the greatest of all is the one who is slave of all." The question isn't who will rise to power. The question is who will rise to service. That rising to service may or may not be a politician, and I happen to be one that believes that most people who run for public office, some part of them does it because of a desire truly to serve. Some part of it is that they want to serve the needs and create an environment that the best comes out in people and the best is possible for people's lives. But there's so much else that gets in the way. And so it can be for us too. But even if the politicians don't serve, we as Christians, all of us who bear the name Christian, must take that part of us that's connected to Christ, must find that part of us that is connected to love and truth and goodness, and find a way to serve from that place. Because the world needs servants. And not all of the servants of the world will be politicians. Not all of them will be priests and nuns or monks or lay ministers in the church. But the world needs servants in every profession, in every vocation, from every person that God has created. We need servant bankers. We need servant teachers. And remember when you were in school? Remember the teachers that were servant teachers? The teachers who really seemed most of the time to have your best interest at heart and who went the extra mile, even if it meant discipline or things that made them unpopular at the time. We need servant teachers. We need servant receptionists. We need servant artists whose art and whose work and whose creativity serves the wider world and serves a people that wants to connect with beauty and truth and goodness in new and beautiful ways. We need servant parents. Parents who will do the difficult and challenging task of raising children and guiding them and educating them and disciplining them and teaching them how to love and forgive and teaching them and forming them for service in their own lives. We need to be a servant people. We need to drink that cup. We need to own that part of our baptism. And we know that that's not always an easy thing to do. We know the Isaiah today talked about the suffering servant. And a true servant, especially a servant leader, will always suffer a little bit in three ways, I think. The first way that a servant leader suffers is because the servant leader sees the needs of people, and sometimes the needs are overwhelming. Sometimes it's just overwhelming to know how to serve the people entrusted to you. The parent who comes and says, "I just don't know how to talk to my teenager." And the teenager who says, "I just don't know how to talk to my parents." The first way that we suffer is when we see the needs and have an impulse to serve and don't know how. The second way that the servant suffers is the pressure to serve forces other than goodness, love, and truth. The pressure to serve ego and greed and manipulation. The pressure to make compromises. And the difficult discernment of knowing when those compromises go just a little too far. Jesus knew those temptations. As it says in the letter to the Hebrews today, Jesus was just like us in that he experienced those temptations and those things, only he did it without sinning. And he can lead us and guide us in our discernment so that we might too be free from sin and avoid the pitfalls when we are pressured to serve something other than God. Other than God's people. And the third way that servant ministers, the servant leaders suffer is because so often they are misunderstood. Jesus was misunderstood. They didn't understand the message at first. So often parents or teachers are misunderstood. I didn't understand what Mrs. Nestor, my high school English teacher, was doing when she assigned all that homework in my senior year of high school when I was supposed to be having fun. At the time, so often, servant leaders are just not understood. This is the cup that Jesus spoke of. This is the baptism with which he was baptized and into which we are invited. But we know the other side of the story, too. That service in love means that we come in touch with some of the deepest satisfactions that a life can have. The satisfaction of truly making a difference in somebody's life. The satisfaction of truly being able to help somebody, even if it's in a small way, the person in front of us or the next customer or client that comes through the door. We know that. Hasn't it been a wonderful feeling when through your work or through your contacts in your neighborhood or through your relationships, you've been able to help somebody? Isn't that a wonderful thing? We've known that as a parish. We know that. Talk to the people who've been to our Africa ministry and have helped establish a clinic that serves people with HIV/AIDS and helps educate people that wouldn't otherwise have a chance to be educated, especially girls. Talk to the people who will be getting on the bus next weekend to go to Tijuana, to the orphanage, to care for young people there in the orphanage. And now, several generations later, some of those young people have come back to us with college degrees to thank us and to talk of the fruit that has been born because of the service of people from this community. Look at the faces of the teachers that teach in our schools tirelessly and long hours, and know that they are so good at what they do. When the kid gets it, it's such a wonderful and powerful experience. Know that, and we can look at our parish and this parish and parishes around the world and people of faith from this religion and other religions. People who know that when you drink that cup, you drink it, you commit to a lot of things. But when you commit to that baptism and drink that cup and really live it for the long haul, that That's really when life rises, when we rise up to something truly wonderful and beautiful and great. When we rise to service, we rise to God. Let us pray that as we talk so much of power and the things we have to talk about because we live in the world, that we never lose sight of that rise to service that raises all toward God.